When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there, and welcome to the latest episode of the Dublin Story Slam podcast. So you may have noticed that you were stood up last month when we didn't have an episode of the Dublin Story Slam, and that was just basically down to the perfect storm of deadlines and commitments and just not enough hours in the day. Normally when we make these podcasts, it's just not something that we can kind of hash together quickly and just kind of throw it out. We always put a lot of time into considering what stories work well together. And so unfortunately, we did miss our deadline last month and you were left standing outside the cinema with nobody showing up. So a huge heartfelt apology for that. We are back though with three brand new stories for you, all of them inspired by the theme Secrets. So this is the Dublin Story Slam podcast. So if this is your first time to listen to an episode of the Dublin Story Slam podcast, we are basically a storytelling night that takes place every month in the heart of Dublin's city centre, in the Sugar Club, where our wonderful, esteemed and regular host, Mr. Colm O'Regan, guides us through a series of stories that are volunteered by you, the listener. Sometimes people show up on the night who have no intention telling a story and find themselves on stage winning a story slam. So the stories all come from the listeners and the audience members. And the very first story we have is actually nearly over a year old, and it comes from Aoife Dooley. Now, Aoife Dooley is a well-known Dublin illustrator, but Aoife came to us a while back with a story that I think probably took her even longer to figure out what it was all about. It's a story about kind of carrying a secret around with you, and maybe that secret only revealing itself later on in life. So sit back, relax, and here is Aoife Dooley on stage at the Dublin Story Slam.
So I'll just start from the beginning because it's kind of a long story. But I was the kind of person in primary school that was an outcast. I had one friend, and we were always the last to get picked to play chasing. And it really frustrated me because she always got picked before me, and she was in a wheelchair. And that pretty much sums up my primary school. But as the years went on, friends were far and few. I never really had friends, and I kind of started to kind of see other people do things that they found really easy to do, but was really difficult for me to do. And it got to the stage where I was in my teens, and I brought a lot of it on myself because I don't know what I was thinking growing up in Coolock, dressing as I got in the early 2000s. Like, that was my fault. But I started to ask myself the questions, because it just became apparent that I couldn't do a lot of things that everyone else done. And it raised the question that I'd asked myself for decades later, what's wrong with me? And it kind of, I had went through school and I went through college, and it just kind of, things never really seemed to pick up. And I kind of, I'd struggled with depression and anxiety, and I knew that these things were, I had always struggled with, but I knew that there was something else that causing all these issues. And a lot of them kind of started or got worse after my mum passed away. And she was 45, it was 6 years ago, and then I was 22 when it happened. And it was a really horrible thing that happened in my life, because everything else changed around me. My family broke apart. I had to leave my family home. It wasn't my home anymore. And I decided then, after that I wanted to meet my biological dad. And I never met before, didn't know much about him, but I knew since I was six that my stepdad wasn't my biological dad. So I always had that in the back of my head. I want to find out the other person who's essentially half of me. And I decided to start looking for him after I finished college, because I couldn't get any work, so I had nothing else better to do. So I said, now's the time. And I got onto a people search agency in the UK called Finder Monkey. And I was like, listen, can you find me dad for me? Like, and I go, I don't have enough information. I know his name's Mark Saunders. I think he might have lived on this road. Someone gave me a bit of information. They're like, yeah, we'll look into it. And they got back to me about 2 weeks later going, listen, there's like, you know, so many Mark Saunders in London, like at this time, like between this age, that we think it's going to take us a couple of months to kind of go through all this. And I just tried to get as much information as I could. And then one day I got the call to say, we found your dad. And I was like, holy shit. And I was standing outside Nando's when it happened. So like, it was like really random place to find out. So me and my friend went back to her house, like, and we got on my laptop and, or we got on her laptop and started looking up, like, you know, where he lived. And I was like, oh, what if he's mad rich or something? Or what if he's like really cool? Like, you know, because I always had this picture or image of him in my head, like that he'd be going around wearing leather jackets and all, he'd be real cool. But when I met him, he was taller than me. He was funny. He ate a Tesco sandwich a day, and he drank three bottles of wine every day too. And we were exactly alike. We had the same sense of humour, and we had the same thing of putting our foot in it all the time, which is a kind of hard place to be in this day and age, because you can't really say anything wrong without being blasted. So that's a really kind of scary place for me, like at the moment, like without saying something wrong, which will make sense at the end of the story. But I decided then, I went over and I met him, and the first time I met him was in his kind of corridor, and he had like a bottle of wine, and we met up, and I was like, oh, it was mad. And he gave me this doll, and he asked for it back a week later, and I was like, what? And I know. And he said something to me, he goes, I was like, he goes, I robbed this doll from Tesco. And I was like, Dad, why'd you rob a doll from Tesco? And he said, I robbed her because she was in a trolley and she was going to be fucked out because one of the whites on her eyes isn't on the other eyes. And he goes, I didn't want her to be fucked out because she's not broken. She just has something different about her. And I didn't realise at the time, but this was something that was going to stay with me and come back up again a couple of years later. And basically, a couple of years had gone by, 2 years had gone by, we hadn't really talked much because we had a bit of a fall now. And I was walking to Slimming World one day, and I seen these birds fly out of nowhere, these blue tits. And now I was walking through Ballymun, so the only types of birds you see are crows, seagulls, and, you know, pigeons. Like, so I was like, whoa, didn't know what was going on. And I was like, and these birds started to follow me around everywhere, and I kept noticing them. But later that day, I found out that my dad passed away, and I only found out then, I think it was a couple of months after that, the reason what had happened was, I was so frustrated, because when I finally realised what he meant about what he said about this doll, I had realised that he was talking about himself, and it brought it back to how I felt as well. And he had said all these little things that kind of started to make sense in my life. When I was going through a very difficult time, I felt like I was living two different lives simultaneously. So on one side, my career was skyrocketing. And on the other side, I was really, really, really struggling and hiding behind a mask so everyone could see that I was okay. But I really wasn't okay. I was really in a really horrible place. And I kind of, you know, months went by and these birds kept following me. And I asked my friend to come over one day, and I was still having the same struggles, still had no friends and the usual. And I got my friend to come over, and we were going to work on a project together. And he said, I don't know why, but I just have a feeling I have to tell you this now. I think you need to go for an assessment. And I was like, an assessment? What are you talking about? And he goes, I think you're autistic. And I go, fuck off, I'm 27, I'd know if I was autistic by now. And I started reading into it and started looking into it, and everything I watched came back and resonated so much with me, like everything that I'd gone through, all the difficult times that I'd gone through, other people had went through as well. And I decided to book in for an assessment, and I found out on the day that I'm autistic. And I was finally able to stop asking myself the question, what's wrong with me? Because there was nothing wrong with me. I'm just me. I don't want to cure myself. I don't need to cure myself. I am who I am. I wouldn't be able to do the things I do today if I wasn't autistic. But then I still have these struggles where I put my foot in it and say stupid things. So please do give me a break, because I do it a lot. But it's like when I found out, it was just like this mind-blowing moment that like everything just set into place in my life. And I kind of finally realised like that there's other people like me. I'm part of a tribe now, whereas my whole life I felt like I was like part of nothing. I didn't have any friends. And then I decided, like, there's obviously other people. There's people in this audience who don't know they're autistic, the same as me, who had the same struggles. And I decided to start speaking out about it. And since I started speaking out about it, loads of women, especially because women are massively underdiagnosed, misdiagnosed, start coming to me and saying, I feel the same way. I've booked in for an assessment. And so many people, I got diagnosed last April, and there's been dozens of women who've been diagnosed since, from hearing my side, my story, and then like them resonating with it and going for an assessment. And I feel like that, like, I'm giving them the gift that my friend gave me of knowing yourself, because some of us are privileged to know who we are our whole lives. I didn't know who I was, and so many people don't, and people take that for granted. And I'm just happy that I know who I am now, and I'm able to help other people figure out who they are. And yeah, that's pretty much how I found my tribe. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
That was a story from Aoife Dooley, whose own journey into autism and I suppose what it means for her still continues to this day. And we were just really honoured that she decided to kind of give us the full story and share her own intimate journey into that world on stage at the Dublin Story Slam. So thanks so much to Aoife for sharing that. Aoife, as I mentioned before, is also an amazing illustrator and designer. So we've asked her to design, as part of this year's Dublin Story Grand Slam Championship, our winning certificate that will be presented to the winner of the Grand Slam on December the 8th at the Abbey Theatre. And we can't wait to see what she creates for us, because she is an incredibly talented designer, but perfectly captures in her work a lot of the personality of the city and those small, tiny little things that may go unseen, you know, by Dubliners every day, but are actually at the heart of the city. So yeah, it's going to be special. Our next storyteller is Jo Whelan. And it was one of those stories where you knew there was something coming throughout the entire story. It's expertly told by Jo, but there was just that kind of sense that you were being drawn in closer and closer and closer. And the payoff is absolutely amazing and hilarious as well. So stick with this story right from the very, 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 very start, and listen to Jo Whelan at the Dublin Story Slam.
They say females are the fairer sex, and if that's the case, then males have got to be the fair, stupid sex. As I can testify from a trip I took to Spain a good few years ago, I had the opportunity to go on this golfing holiday with a few guys that wouldn't have been my normal mates as such, and just end up going with anyway. And I'm the kind of guy who, say, if I was going on a holiday like to Spain, I would always try and use a couple of phrases of Spanish. You know, when you're at a restaurant and you want the menu or order a drink, you know, you'd try and, I always try to speak a few words of Spanish. Whereas the guys I was with, their sole communication was like, say, if you say it slowly and loudly, they'll understand you. Can I wait? Five pints of San Miguel there, Tom. And so, whereas I always try to, you know, use a few words of Spanish. So in the hotel we were staying in, there was this beautiful receptionist called Anita. And I thought it was the perfect chance for me to use my few cubla focal of Spanish. So every morning I'd come down and I'd say, Buenos dias, Anita, como estas, you know, and she would kind of probably roll her eyes and say, yeah, you know, she would acknowledge me, you know. And of course, the lads were kind of impressed, you know, just this lad knows a bit of Spanish, like, you know. And so it was great. And, you know, the holiday went well. We played a lot of golf, and I'd come in the evening and I might throw a couple of more Spanish words at Anita and, you know, asking for the key to the room or whatever, you know. So it went well. So when it was time to go home, I was at the airport, and I realised I left my phone back at the hotel, in the room in the hotel. And then, as in now, like, you know, you're lost without your phone, and all my numbers, I was self-employed, all my numbers were on it, and I said, shit, like, you know. So I borrowed one of the lads' phone, and I said, look, I rang the hotel, and I said, listen, hi, I said, I'm with that golfing party that were there from Ireland, you know. I said, I'm after leaving my phone in my room, you know. And of course, this familiar voice came on the phone. I said, hi, I remember you. And it was Anita, of course, you know. And she said, and I said, look, I'm very sorry, I left my phone. And is there any way you could post it on to me? And I'll gladly pay the postage. And she said, no problem, you know, we'll send it on, you know. So that was great. So we arrived back home, and I'm at home. And about a week later, my wife, Madeline, calls, you know, into the job that I was working on. She said, look, your phone arrived. I opened the package because I was going to bring in the phone to you, you know, but it's completely flat. So I stuck it on charge. It's at home. As I said, brilliant. I'll go out in about an hour and I'll check it, you know, and I'll take it to work, because I was saying there must be loads of people calling me and so on, you know. So I go home anyway, and about an hour later, and like the phones at that time were about the size of a cigarette box, you know, and it was quite small. So I go home, and there's this big box on the table. It's like a six-pack of wine, you know. And I was kind of going, Jesus, that's big. Now, the phone was charging away, you know. So I opened the box, which was already opened, and I realized, like, there's a pair of shoes in there belong to me, a T-shirt, a pair of shorts, you know. And I'm going, fuck it, what else did I forget, you know? And so then there's this letter in there, you see, from the hotel, and it's, of course, it's from Anita. And so I read the letter, you know, and it says, hi, Joe, enclosed is your phone and your shoes and your shorts and, you know, your T-shirts, you know. And and then she said, you might forget your head only for it is on you, you know. Laughing, you know. Sounds like something your mother would have said, you know. So, and then she kind of finished the letter and she said, I really enjoyed speaking with you all the week, you know. It was such fun. You're such a gentleman. And she said, I just want to send a big kiss to my Irish man, you know. And I kind of go, oh, fuck, you know. And I kind of, my first thought is like, wow, some Spanish. You know, as I said, the fair stupid sex. Like, some Spanish girl is actually wants to, you know, send a kiss to me, you know. And of course, terror then came over me, and I said, like, the box was open. My wife must have seen this letter, you know. And I kind of going, oh shit, you know. And then I said, maybe she just took out the phone, left it down, and, you know, didn't really look through the box. No. So, and so I, you know, I kind of, you know, say, yeah, I think, you know, that's okay. So I started taking out the stuff out of the box, the shoes, the shorts, and so on, you know. And down at the very end of the box, under everything, you know, is possibly the most beautiful pair of white ladies' underwear I've ever seen in my life. And I picked them up, like, and I fucking, holy shit, like, you know, and I like, again, like, the two parts of the man, like, one part is kind of going, fucking hell, a girl spent me her knickers, you know. And I was kind of just blown away by this, you know. But of course, the sensible guy is going, Madeline has just opened this box, you know what I mean? And I'm kind of going, yeah, but like, she would have freaked, I'd be dead now, you know what I mean? She's seen these, you know. So I'm kind of going, she couldn't have seen them, you know. So I kind of, I kind of theorized that, like, she mustn't have seen them, you know. So I did what any man would do in that situation, is I put them in my pocket and I said, I have to tell the lads. I just got to tell the lads this story, because they just won't believe me, you know. So I kind of get ready to go back into town anyway, you know, in Clonmel, and just as I'm going out the door, my wife pulls in the car, you know. So I said, okay, just you know, be cool here, you know. I think we got this, you know. So she comes in and she says, oh, did you get your phone? I said, yeah, thanks, you know. And she said, what else was in the box? It's huge, like, you know. And I said, yeah, my shoes and shorts and stuff. I left a load of stuff there, you know. And she said, and, you know, and I'm kind of gauging her reply, you know, and I'm kind of going, I don't think she knows, you know. And then she says, like, and this kills me, and she says, and was there anything else in the box, you know? And I go, fuck it, she knows, you know. And I kind of do again, like any man would in that situation. I just wilt, you know, and I kind of go, look, it's not what you think, like. I mean, I'm making excuses, and I did nothing wrong, you know. And like, she just kind of leans over, and she puts her arm around, and she puts her hand to my lip, you know, and she says, the letter is from her. She says, the knickers are mine.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That was Joe Whelan, who had his family there with him. He's told that story many times to them, and you can tell because he has it down to a fine art. Nobody knew where that story was going to be ending. So a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant story. So our final story from the night comes from Antonine Gibbons. And Antonine, when she contacted us originally, said that she wanted to warn us that the story was about her experience of having a miscarriage. This is something that we've never had on stage before at the Dublin Story Slam. But Antonine wasn't really bothered by that, because what was driving the story at the heart of it was the real heartfelt desire that this is a subject that more people should be more open with each other about. And that kind of summarizes what's really at the heart of the Story Slam. It's the idea that, you know what, sometimes in Ireland, people just don't talk enough. And when you do, the load can be a lot lighter to bear. So this is Antonine Gibbons on stage at the Dublin Story Slam.
So I think this is a story that often goes untold. And it all starts with my massive boobs. So they're not normally that massive, but I was admiring them in a hotel room in Westport with my mom and my sister looking at me. And my sister very discreetly said, "Are you sure you're not pregnant?" And she said this very discreetly. because there was no way at 37 years of age and recently married, we were going to say it out in front of my mom. So to put that in context, like this is a recent quote from my mum, babies, they're lovely, but they're a load of shite as well. And I wouldn't dream having one before I had a mortgage. And we don't have a mortgage. So all very top secret. My sister distracted my mom with the best thing for her, bargains in charity shops around Westport, and I snuck off to the chemist like a teenager, went in, got the test. And sure enough, as I looked at the stick that I'd peed on, up a chem, 3+ weeks, holy shit. So my younger sister, by far the wiser of the two of us, informed me that this in fact meant I was 5 or 6 weeks pregnant. And she introduced me then to all of the online apps that you can look at, like to calculate your due date and what to expect when you're expecting. And we calculated my due date and it was going to be 17th of April. It was my mum's birthday. What a sign, like this is like meant to be. She'd love it. It'd be a great birthday present when she came around to the idea. And we kind of agreed she will come around to the idea and it would be the distraction that we all needed because we had lost my dad last year and we thought, you know what, this is going to be a lovely distraction. And then I couldn't wait to tell my husband, Brian. That's not said in a smug way. It's just new and weird to say husband. So I rang him and he was absolutely delighted. And then I didn't like the 12-week rule. I was just way too excited. And I just started telling flipping everyone. I was telling taxi drivers unsolicited. I was like, I'm pregnant, by the way. And I told a friend. I told another friend. I told my cousin. I told the girl in work who was also pregnant because I wanted to share, you know, the sore boob and the peeing every hour stories. And I told the lads in the gym because I might need to change my exercises and because I was so excited. So the lads in the gym, everyone was delighted. Everyone was getting really excited. And then I got the date for my scan, my 12-week scan. And it was going to be a year after my dad had died. And I was like, wow. The circle of life. This is all meant to be. It's so exciting. And then I booked, but I booked a scan a little bit earlier, like 9 weeks, just to, for the reassurance thing. And we walked up and we were so excited. And then we were like practically like skipping up Pier Street and off past the ladies having their morning smoke, pregnant outside Hollis Street, and into the clinic. We were seen straight away, and I laid down. And the first thing, like the sonographer says, "Oh, it's pregnancy's really early down, and this will be a bit cold." And I was like, I was ready. And the picture came up so clearly on the screen straight away, and it looked like what I'd been googling. And I was like, "Oh, deadly." And then it was kind of silent, and she said, "I'm so sorry. There's no heartbeat." And then it was a bit of a blur, and I was like, "Brian, are you listening? Because I can't hear anything." And we went into a kind of a plush waiting area that they get you in if you're in these situations. One nice thing. And I was like, fucking hell, I have to untell everyone this exciting news. And I tried ringing my mom and I couldn't get through to her because she was at mass lighting candles. So I got through to my sister who passed on the news to my mom, who could not get a refund on the candles. She would be a rich woman if she could. And then it's just... Jesus, you have to make your decision. So I'm in Hollis Street and they're giving me the choices. And I was in conservative management, wasn't recommended for me. I went with the surgery option, which they kind of made sound like it would be a bit of a breeze, like I'd be physically better, but I could have two weeks off work to have facials or whatever in the second week, make myself feel better. And that's kind of what I thought would happen, even though I was grieving and all of that. But holy shit, it does not happen like that. And I would just want to like tell you, because it was, I was ringing Hollis Street a week later, talking to a midwife, crying, going, I'm in agony. Did someone put a hole in my uterus? What is happening? And after we chatted, we discovered together that I hadn't had a bowel movement in a week. And this was probably the source of my pain. And if there's anything less talked about than miscarriages, it might be constipation. And I really, really think it could do have been talked about a bit more because it is horrific. So I did what any 37-year-old Irish person would do in the situation. I went home to my mummy, and it was good to save Brian what was about to happen over the next few nights. I was in agony. My mom was there every step of the way. She was in with the blue glove and the soothe cream and suppositories and everything else. I know it's too much information, but you have to hear it. And I kind of think I got a flavour of what it might be like to be in labour, because she was like, just, you know, push, take a break, go for a walk and try again. You know, is there anything coming? And eventually I was physically backed. My hormones were still playing absolute blinder. Like Brian one evening said, so do you want something for dinner? What do you want home? I'm not hungry at all. Don't even attempt to bring anything home. He doesn't bring anything home. And I cry for a full hour going, you don't care about me. And so this was all going on. And then I still had to face more people and tell people. And what I discovered when I started sharing my story, because like I said, I'm not going to lie about this. I'm not going to say I was on some lovely holiday there. I'm going to tell people I had a miscarriage. I told my boss, he was like, I can talk to Brian if you want. I said and did all the wrong things. It happened to me and my wife as well. A couple of my best friends that had happened to, it happened to my cousin, it happened to my auntie. Everyone started sharing their stories with me, and I realized how common this was. And the circle of life, it's definitely not a perfect circle. It's a weird, twisted, messed up shape. And as Zane said, shit happens, or it doesn't, which can be even worse. But I'll tell you, it's scary as hell, and I'm so scared about the future. But I know that by sharing my story and realizing that you're not alone, it's a lot less scary. Thank you.
That was Antonine Gibbons there, and a huge heartfelt thank you to Antonine for being so brave to get up and to share what is a very, 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 very painful subject, but shockingly is something that happens to so many out there. And so I think the key to it is really to open up and to share and not to be afraid to talk about these things. Thank you very much for listening to the Dublin Story Slam podcast. We'll be back next month with a very special Christmas episode of the podcast. We will be back then on December 17th with one last Story Slam. It's our final of the year. It's going to be a fundraiser for a charity. We'll be revealing all in the next week or so. So if you want to find out when, where, how, simply head over to the mailing list at www.thedublinstoryslam.com. If you like the podcast as well, head on over to wherever you get your little pods from and leave us a little review. As I speak to you now, I am coming to you from a wardrobe where I'm surrounded by heavy jumpers and shirts. And it's always amazing to think that these kind of stories go from my closet all the way out across the world to reach you in your home. So if you like what you hear, please do let us know, because it really helps to keep the podcast going. Okay, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next month on the Dublin Story Slam podcast. Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.